But tonight, I get to jump into the mix, and it came a little bit quicker than I was expecting it to tonight, so I thought, oh boy, I better get this sermon ready. It's very, very important so that, you know, you guys don't waste your time tonight. So I thought to myself, you know, what can I do to make sure this message is great? And I thought, oh, I should go to Universal Studios and ride some rides. So that's what I did. But on the way, I got some incredible information done. You know, I was thinking to myself, you know, tonight we're talking about this idea of the righteous and the wicked. Proverbs is, it's kind of a mega theme in the book of Proverbs. If you look through the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, the idea of the righteous versus the wicked comes up about 27 chapters out of the 31. So it's a pretty big theme, pretty big deal in the book of Proverbs. And I thought to myself, man, this is a big deal. I feel like these words, righteous and wicked, are a little bit churchy. Don't you guys? Like, the words righteous and the words wicked in the way that the Bible describes them are a little bit churchy. So I thought to myself, I wonder what people who may not go to church think about the words righteous and wicked. And that gave me a perfectly good excuse to go to Universal Studios and ride some rides because City Walk is on the way and there's always a plethora of people with opinions. So I'd like for you guys to take a look at this video and then we will jump into the night.
Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free and loving soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the guarded gate. There's not much time left today.
Two questions for you. First question, when you hear the word wicked, what do you think?
I'm a theater major, so the first thing I think of is a musical.
Broadway musical?
Or Broadway musical, yeah.
Cool. All right, first thing you think of is musical. When you hear the word righteous, what do you think of?
Righteous, I think, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
righteous.
That general stereotype around that, stuff like that.
Very cool. So a couple of media things. Do you think the words themselves actually mean?
The words themselves, I think that any word can have multiple meanings, including, you know, things like wicked, righteous. You know, wicked could have a negative connotation, but, you know, it's also been used, you know, especially more recently, more as a positive, you know.
Right, wicked.
That's wicked, it's awesome, stuff like that.
Okay.
So,
and if righteous?
Righteous, that I've never heard as a negative connotation, but, you know, it could be, you know, more positive, you know, righteous, kind of, you know, same way, but also, you know, more of a, in a way, more like passionate thing, more something like, you know, you're doing something good, something right, you know, what you feeling that whatever you have, you are on the right path. So.
Awesome, dude. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
Couple of things. I don't drive that fast. That was sped up. And then someone was filming for me. That wasn't me filming. While I was driving. So talking to AJ was actually a really interesting thing to me. You know, when you ask somebody the question, you know, what do you think of when you hear the word wicked? You know, this guy, he said he was a theater major, and so his first reaction, of course, is a Broadway musical, and of course, that would be something that would resonate with our culture. And then I asked him, you know, okay, what about the word righteous? And you know, he said, well, you know, it's kind of a always used in a good way, and all of those things. And did you notice I was pretty hip and cool. I used the lingo. I was like, righteous, yeah. No, not that cool at all. But it was interesting when he began to kind of explain what he thought about the word righteous. He said, you know, someone who in a more serious way may be doing the right thing and is on the right path. That was actually the first interview that we did, and it was the last interview that we did, because as soon as he said that, I was like, boom, that's my message right there. Because as you read the book of Proverbs, as you go through the 27 out of the 31 chapters that talk about the righteous and the wicked, one of the things that it really, really brings forward is the idea of the righteous path versus the wicked path. Remember, this series, we're talking about Solomon, and he is a wise father who is teaching and showing his children the ways that they should live their lives. And as you think about a father teaching his son, he's always teaching his son how to do things the right way. He's always showing him the way things should be done, and what to be careful of and watch out for, and showing his son the right path, the path to live his life on. And so I want to jump into the book of Proverbs tonight, and I want to show you just how Solomon begins to unfold this idea of the righteous and the wicked as it pertains to this path of this journey that all of us find ourselves on, whether we find ourselves on the path of righteousness or of wickedness. Let's jump into the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. It's on page 442 of the Mosaic Bibles, which are under the chairs. If you don't have one, grab one of those. It's Proverbs chapter 2. And at the end of this chapter, Solomon jumps into this idea of the path. And Proverbs chapter 2, the NIV gives it the heading, the moral benefits of wisdom. And it's this idea that if you apply wisdom to your life, you'll benefit. There are legitimate benefits that we gain when we apply wisdom to our lives. And Proverbs chapter 2 is all about those benefits. And he kind of wraps it up with verse 20 through 22 by saying this. He says, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. You know, Proverbs is such an interesting book, and it's such a great book for people like me who like simple things. You know, I as a child was a very difficult child, and it was always best to just tell me very simple things, short words with very few syllables, like no. That was a good word for me, because I understood what that meant. No, I didn't always follow what that meant, as some people in the room could attest to, but it really meant what, you know, you can't get a whole lot of meanings out of the word no. And so I like things that are very simple. And the book of Proverbs is full of very, very simple, practical, straightforward wisdom. And if it wasn't straightforward enough, the thing I love about Proverbs is everything it says twice. You know, it says, well, this is the truth about the righteous, and flip it on its side, and this is the same truth about the wicked. So if the righteous are going to inherit the land, then the wicked are probably not going to inherit the land. In fact, they'll be uprooted from the land. And so Proverbs is intensely practical, and I love that about this book. And as you go through the book of Proverbs, Solomon continues to talk about this path of righteousness in a very plain way. I love it. It's on the same page. Turn over to Proverbs 4, verse 10. Solomon says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Man, I wish I would have learned that earlier. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber until they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Wow. So here Solomon is giving us this insight to what the path of the righteous looks like. It's this wonderful thing that if we stay on it, we won't stumble and we won't fall. And yet the wicked, on the other hand, they cause other people to stumble. They stumble themselves. In fact, the path of the righteous is light, and it's like the gleaming light of the dawn. And yet the way of the wicked is like darkness, deep and utter darkness. You know, we sit here in church here in the United States of America. We're all churchgoers, obviously, because that's why you're here. You went to church, so you are now classified as a churchgoer. But if we're here tonight, I would venture to say that we are people who would want to identify ourselves with the path of the righteous. We would want to identify ourselves with the path that is right, that we're doing the right thing, and all of those things, and the path of the wicked is like for those other people. Yet the reality is, it is so easy for the lines to get blurred. You know, when we walk through our lives, you know, some of these proverbs are very, very straightforward, very, very simple, and very, very easy for us to understand. And truly, if we can ingrain these things into our lives, it would certainly help. But life is one of those crazy things where as you go along the path of life, sometimes decisions are not exactly very cut and dry. They're not exactly very black and white. And it's so easy for us to stumble as we walk through this life. And truly, we would want to be identified as people who are on the righteous path. I mean, I would. Yet I know myself. I don't know about you guys, but I know myself. And I know how easy it is for me to step off the path of righteousness. How many of you guys have ever been lost? Like, straight up just lost. Like, I have no idea where I am. It's okay. You can, you know, don't be shy. You can raise your hand. It's all right. I don't usually get lost, but I often lose my way. There's a difference, I promise. If you ever go to the airport to drop someone off, and you come back and you miss the turnpike, oh, it's the worst. It's almost as bad as missing exit 272 if you're trying to go to Claremont. That's the worst, because it's like, quick turn, next exit, 13 miles. You're going to want to shoot yourself for 13 miles. Wait, double that, 26 miles, you know? And if you miss exit 272, you're in big trouble. The last time I took, well, not the last time, two times ago, I took someone to the airport, and I was driving back, and lo and behold, you know, I got distracted. Who knew? And I was probably videotaping as I was going, you know? But I was driving and I missed the turnpike, and I was like trying not to say words that don't honor God because I was alone and nobody would have known, but I would have probably felt guilty and said something when I was preaching tonight, so that's good. But I was trying not to say words that are bad, and I was just like, God, I missed this turn. This is terrible, and I don't even really know how to get back, and I'm trying not to kill other drivers by using my iPhone and like updating my location on my map and stuff like that, because who maps it from the airport and back? Hopefully not you, but I've been enough times I should know. So I missed the exit, and I'm like, oh, no, now I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And I'm driving, nothing. And then I'm like, I-4 East. Oh, I-4 East? I got to go east to go west? No, it like hurts my brain. The insides of my body are like turned around. I hate it. And so I'm like, okay, fine. So I jump onto I-4 East, and I drive, you know, which is like, northeast, which is away from Winter Garden if you're going towards the airport. So I'm like, ah. So I get on I-4 East, then get on the turnpike, and I find my way home. And in those moments, man, you just feel inside because you know that you're wasting time, you're wasting gas, and it's, you know, an airport run, so it's bound to be either early in the morning or late at night. This case was early in the morning, and I just wanted to be back in bed, like more than anything in the world. And I was super scared to hit traffic. Thank God I was going against traffic. It was great. But I got home and I was like, oh man, why can't I just pay attention? Like, why can't I just pay attention? I wasn't even really distracted with anything in particular. Isn't it the worst? It's like early in the morning, no one's awake. I wasn't on the phone. I was just driving and I missed the turnpike. And I was like, oh man. And the reality is, you know, with life and with our walk with God and with our relationships with God, that can happen. Like, walking along the path of righteousness is just like that. Like, one day we're just walking along, and God is good, and life is good, and I love Jesus, and it's Christmas, and, like, everywhere I go, I'm reminded about Jesus, and Renaud preached an awesome sermon this morning. I'm like, woo! And then all of a sudden, I'm like, butterfly, you know? And I don't think about God. I don't pray to God. I don't even think about the Bible. I'm, like, texting or playing Words with Friends or Tetris or doing something, anything, but thinking about God, Jesus, my relationship with Him, and the path of the righteous. And the thing is, it's so easy for us to just get off the beaten path. You know, if it were easy to be righteous, I think everyone would be, right? You know, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy to continue in the path of the righteous. Now, let's keep something straight. I feel the need to say it. Didn't plan to, but I'm going to. Righteousness is not something that we earn. It's very, very easy for us to read the book of Proverbs and write our list of all the things we should do because Solomon said it, and it's true. And as we do those things, we check them off, and we're like, yeah, I'm in the righteous camp. And we avoid all the things that Solomon says not to do. And okay, cool, I'm not in the wicked camp. So as long as I'm not in the wicked camp and I'm doing all the right things, then I'm in the righteous camp. And the fact of the matter is that that's actually not true at all. All of us are in the wicked camp, and without Jesus, this person that we're celebrating today, that we're singing carols about, I don't know what that last song was, but it was awesome. Anna, did you write that last song? Oh man, it was beautiful, and you did a great job. But the thing is, like, as we walk in the righteousness of Jesus that we didn't earn, that was imputed to us because of Jesus coming to the earth and living the life that He did and dying the death that He did, and when we have faith in Him, He gives us His righteousness. So let's keep that straight. But the reality is, even though we are putting on the righteousness of God in Christ, as we walk out our life, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to forget where we're at. You know, sometimes life just takes us off course. It happens. It happens to me. And it's like my job to like be reading the Bible and telling people about it. And sometimes I don't even think about the Bible, and that's bad, you know? And it's so easy. But the reality is this life is not easy. And the road of righteousness is not easy to stay on. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, the path to destruction is wide. It's easy to stay on the path of destruction. But the way to life is narrow, and few find it. Few. And for those of us who have found the narrow way, man, to stay in the path of righteousness is so difficult because life is so crazy. And sometimes it just takes us off course. I was in India in 2005, and I was with some family and some friends and a group of us, and we were working with this church down there in an orphanage, and it was awesome. We kind of had a free day, and so we went out to this market called Sarojini Nagar, and this market was super cool. I have lots of funny stories about it. And it was like this legitimate Indian market, not where the tourists go, but where Indians go. So it was super great. And everything was dirt cheap, and it was awesome. And so we went through, and we kind of made some purchases, and we had some fun. And we had to go back because there was a prayer meeting that was happening that evening. And so we went to go negotiate a rickshaw. Rickshaws are the coolest thing on the planet. They're three wheels, which is excellently safe. And they have like a weed eater mower, motor. So it's like, and you're on this rickshaw with a stinky Indian guy. It's the best. And you try to negotiate the price with him. And I don't even know why I negotiated, because everything is dirt cheap there. It's ridiculous. But you're negotiating a price, and they're trying to like totally. They see this white guy coming, you know? So they're like, 55. And you're like, no, 35. I know it should be 35. No, 55. No, 35. And they, okay, 50. I give you a good deal. And you're like, no, 35. So you like wrestle them down, and finally you're at 40, and you don't really care because you're kind of sweating, and it's like getting late, and you know it's like 3 cents. So you're like, why am I negotiating? I'm such a terrible person. So I get, there's more of us than can ride in a rickshaw, which is interesting because they'll literally let you like ride on their lap, especially if you have a pretty girl in the group. They'll be like, oh, you can ride here. That's how they do it. It's really crazy. So we had just like too many people to ride on a rickshaw all together. And so I negotiate one rickshaw and they go off. And it just happened to be me and one other person, my brother-in-law's adopted sister, Nikki is her name. And she's like 17 years old, maybe 16 years old at the time. And so I feel responsible for her. I am responsible for her. Her mother and father have entrusted her to me, which is scary. And I negotiate a second rickshaw, and we go through the process again. And we head out from there. So about five to seven minutes have gone by since the other rickshaw left because it's a process. And so they're out ahead of us a little ways. And the place that we were going, the church, was in a place called Kailash Colony. Thank God the British colonized India because the areas are now like somewhat pronounceable. It's possible to actually say the words. So we were like, Kailash Colony. And he's like, okay. So they send him off to Kailash Colony. We negotiate our cab. We're like, Kailash Colony. He's like, okay. So we're on our way. And even I am inside going, I feel like I'm on I-4 East. You know, like, we're going the wrong way. And I can't communicate to the guy because he speaks Hindi and I speak English. And the only thing he knows how to say is 55 rupees, you know. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to tell this guy we're going the wrong way? So I'm like pointing and stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's India. You know, like, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. And so we're going. We stop in this random neighborhood in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, where are we, you know? And so he's looking at us like, get out of my rickshaw. You gave me 35 rupees, you cheapo. Get out of my rickshaw. And we're like, I don't know where we are. And there's no other rickshaws anywhere else to like try to renegotiate someone who knows where Kailash Colony is. And so we pull up and I'm kind of looking around trying to find my bearing. We walk a block and I see this sign that says Kailash Hills. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's bad. And then I wondered, why is the sign in English? But anyway, whatever. So Kailash Hills, and I'm like, oh, man, we're in the wrong place. Nikki's kind of chill, so she doesn't care. She's like, whatever. And I'm freaking out because I'm responsible for her. So I'm like, okay, God, please help us. It's starting to get dark, and I'm getting a little nervous because there's no rickshaws anywhere, and we're like in the middle of, I mean, seriously, nowhere. So we start walking. We see this guy pedaling, and it's a rickshaw, but not an auto rickshaw. So he's pedaling. We're like, we'll pay this guy, you know, 35 rupees, I don't care, to get to a rickshaw place where there are a lot of rickshaws that can maybe take us to Kailash Colony. So that's the plan. And it's getting dark, and we're in a bad neighborhood, and we're trying to flag this guy down. He keeps going. And I'm like, oh, bad. This is bad. This is really bad. I don't know where we are. I don't know which way to walk. I'm like, this is bad news. So I'm just like, God, please help us get where we need to go. And up pulls this car, black car. It was like a BMW, dark tinted windows. And the window rolls down, and he goes, hey, man, do you need a ride? And I'm like, inside, yes, I do need a ride. On the outside, I'm like, I could get kidnapped and murdered, and so could she, and this would be bad. And so I'm like, in the moment, I'm like, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do right now. Like, oh my gosh, I need you now. And I'm like, we're cool. I don't know if we need a ride or not. Just trying to like feel him out. And he's like, no, you need to get in the car with us. Okay, I'm going to stop the Indian accent because it's going to get really bad. I got like a sentence and a half, and then it just like turns southern. It's weird. So he's like, no, you need to get into the car with us. There's been bombings all over the city. And you're American, I can tell, and it's not safe for you guys to be out. And I'm thinking, it's probably not safe for us to be in the car with you, you know? But I'm just like, God, like, tell me now where I need to go. And in that moment, I just knew that, and I don't like hear God on the mountain like some people do. I don't really understand all that. But in that moment, I was like, yeah, okay, let's go. And I told Nikki, I said, let's go. I think we're good. These guys were the coolest dudes on the planet. They were like 22 years old, two Indian guys. They were awesome. And they just asked us about our trip. It was like the most pleasant ride, the most conversation we had with any Indian the whole trip. And they took us literally to the to the doorstep of the church. Wouldn't let us pay them. Like, just the nicest guys on the planet. And I found out that when we got there, I found out that the timing of it worked out that when they got to the rickshaw that went ahead of us got to the church where they were having the prayer meeting, the news came on right about that time that Sarojini Nagar had been bombed. We left, we figured it out, we left like 3 to 5 minutes before the bombing. And not only that, but when we were taken to the wrong place, they had gotten there because they had gone seven minutes ahead. They had gotten there, kind of waited around for a minute. Oh, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Then they hear the bombings had been bombed. My mom is in that group, and I'm not, so that poor woman. And they realize, okay, we need to pray. So they begin to pray and pray and pray fervently that God would make a way for us to be safely where we needed to be. And two Indian guys show up, say, you guys need a ride? Now, I'm not the kind of person that's like, you know, I bump into the wall and I'm like, oh, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Or like, that was God, you know? But God does amazing things. And let me tell you this, as crazy as that story is about, you know, going on the right path or whatever to a place in the middle of nowhere, you know, life is just that crazy. You know, getting from the place that we are to the place that God wants us to be is not an easy thing. It's about as easy as navigating the city streets of India when you have no idea how to speak the language, how to talk to people, where you're at, or what you're doing. That is living this life. And if you think that you can live this life on your own strength, think again. If you think that you can stay along the path of righteousness without the righteous one guiding you, it's not going to happen. In Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God is sovereign. He's big. He's amazing. We learned that as we talked about the fear of the Lord. We have no chance at this life without God. And as we think about the path of righteousness and the path of wickedness and how so easy it can be for us to step to the right or to the left, whether we get distracted or whether our own sinful desires take us off the path or just whatever it may be, we have no hope of walking in the righteousness that Jesus died to give us without Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Because if you're honest with yourself, I got to be honest with myself, my own understanding won't get me very far. I hope that I've demonstrated that to you tonight. And yours won't either. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It's so much bigger than he'll help you stay on the right path. No, he will make your path straight. You know, God is not our little helper in the sky. We need God more desperately than we can imagine. We can't walk this life on our own. He can walk it out for us, and we can enjoy the ride. The other crazy thing that God did for us that is so incredibly good and wonderful is that he didn't just leave us to any guesswork on what the path of righteousness looks like. He gives us very, very clear direction on where we should go. The Word of God is the most valuable tool, the most valuable thing that we have available to us. Because the fact of the matter is, it's a rare time in life when you're standing in the middle of India and you hear the Holy Spirit say, do this. You know, for the most part, everyday life, it comes really fast. And if we're not grounded in this, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants. We're not going to even know what the voice of God sounds like. And we're going to miss the path of righteousness that God has marked out for us. We'll still be righteous because of Jesus if our faith and our trust is in him. But we won't live the life that God intended. Read Proverbs. Read the 27 chapters that talk about the righteous life and the wicked life and what that looks like. And I'm telling you, you want to be on the path of righteousness. The path of wickedness, no walk in the park. Following Jesus is no walk in the park either. But it's a whole different ballgame. My heart for me, first, is that I would be so desperate for the Word of God in my life that it wouldn't take a message that I have to prepare for that I would eat up the Word of God. My heart for you is that the Word of God would be what David said, Solomon's father, a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. That's what David said. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And his word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to the path that God is making straight. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that the path of righteousness is clearly marked out for your people. God, I thank you that I am not able to walk it on my own. Because if I were, I would take pride in it, and pride comes before a fall. God, I pray that you would speak to us, each and every one of us here tonight, as we step into this Christmas season. We've been saying it over and over again in so many different ways, that we would not forget you in all of it. But God, we would trust in you with all that we are, and that we would look to your word to show us how to live day after day. God, we can't do it without you. Jesus, thank you that you did come to this earth, a sovereign God coming to the earth as a baby. It's amazing. You grew up and you lived a perfect, sinless life that I should have lived but didn't. And then you died a death on a cross that was more horrible than I could ever imagine, but yet I deserved. And you didn't stay dead, you raised from the dead, so that I can live now in your righteousness. God, help my feet continue to stay on the straight path that you are laying out for me. Help me to trust you for that and cling tightly to the Word of God. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, I pray.